I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, it's Saturday afternoon. In fact, it's the first Saturday of the month. And you know what happens on the first Saturday of the month? It is Minority Health Matters. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland, your host, and this is a regular feature we offer here on KDKA Radio in cooperation with Gateway Medical Society and the Journey to Medicine program. So, what are we talking about today? Well, you know, there are still ongoing conversations about the virus, the vaccine, the hesitancy. What happens to students if you're a rising college freshman? Do you get the vaccine? Do you not? So many issues still around this issue. Figured it was a good time to revisit it. A good time to revisit it with some folks who've actually been on the show before. Dr. William Simmons is here today on behalf of Gateway Medical Society, but he wears a gazillion different hats at the University of Pittsburgh Medical School, UPMC. We welcome you back, Dr. Simmons. Aidan Harbin and Roman Ramsey. And I neglected the other day to ask you guys, just to remind me where you're in school. So let's do that real quick. Aidan, tell me where you are in school and what year you're in.
I am a senior in Allardyce High School.
Okay. And you are planning to go south, correct, for college?
Yes, all the way down to North Carolina for North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University.
All right, perfect. And Roman, same for you.
I'm a senior at Duquesne University.
You're a senior at Duquesne, and what are your plans after graduation?
I am looking into law schools.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, welcome back to everyone. And Dr. Simmons, I'm going to start with you, because here we are now. Today is May 1st. When we first started talking about, I want to say the first time you came on this show, Minority Health Matters, with me, a lot of our focus when we talked about the virus was the fact that Black and brown people were being disproportionately affected by the virus. Has that changed at all in the last 14 months?
Thank you very much for having me back, Lynn. No, that has not changed. And the, one of the reasons why that hasn't changed is that during the course of from March of 2020 to November of 2020, the life expectancy of African Americans decreased by 3 years. It's decreased from 72 to 69. The reason could have been or may have been is that many people use the emergency room as their source of getting immediate medical attention, but nobody was going to the emergency room because that's where all the COVID was at. They weren't going to their doctor's office because the doctor's office was insisting that people use Zoom. And many people in the inner city didn't even have internet connection, much less felt savvy enough to be able to explain their medical problems over a Zoom broadcast. And so they weren't seeing their doctors, and they weren't going to be seen. So their diabetes, hypertension, all the problems that usually occur in the inner city were getting worse and worse. And so they were essentially at a situation where they were susceptible to anything, including COVID, and which made them, when they started having some of the problems with COVID on top of the other problems that we're having, The numbers of African Americans were disproportionately high as far as sickness and death.
And when we saw the rollout of the vaccinations, which I'm going to say that takes us somewhere around December into January, we know, and we've talked about the hesitancy within Black and brown communities for a variety of reasons. And then we saw big pushes, big campaigns to get folks educated, to get folks vaccinated. Has that made a difference? Has that had an impact?
Unfortunately, the Black and brown community has had a long history of problems with the medical establishment, and those problems have gone on for years. Everyone can think about the Tuskegee event, the syphilis studies done there on Black people against their will, without their consent. When the father of OBGYN, Dr. Marion Sims, who did experiments or did his medical surgery, they did it on Black women without anesthesia first until he perfected it. And then he went on and did it on white women with anesthesia. So there are many different situations where Blacks have been used without their consent, and those things linger in the minds of people and is passed on for generation in fear that has been passed on from mother to child. And so people don't trust medical establishment, and that distrust has led itself to the vaccine that we see present day.
So Aidan and Roman, let me transfer to you guys now, especially in light of what Dr. Simmons is saying. And we certainly, I know for my generation, you know, I heard a lot of those stories. But is that feeling of mistrust, is that something that has made it all the way down to a senior in high school and a senior in college? I mean, are those the same kind of hesitancies that you guys hear about?
I would say to a degree, again, thank you, Ms. Acevedo, for having me on the show as well. Just in my perspective, just being a student at a university, there is a hesitation just within my studies. It just inherently does have to do with a large historical backing to just for the most part, just a neglect and mistreatment of Black people and people of color specifically, in just being used as an experimental group, and mm-hmm. knowing that a lot of contemporary medicine is not as widely practiced in doing such heinous things that history has shown us, but it still definitely is a forethought of some part of just being cautious of everything that not only that a person would have to go through to protect themselves, but like what a Black person specifically has to go through in this country to protect themselves.
Okay. Roman, what about you?
That was Roman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Aidan.
As far as I know, at least in my high school, there hasn't been really much hesitancy to get the vaccine. As like looking on social media and stuff, I know people have been getting visits to the doctor to get that vaccine and stuff. As far as myself, I'm also, you know, getting the vaccine too. I'm getting my second shot Sunday and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Okay. And I want to come back to that because you will, in fact, be heading to college. I want to talk about that and the vaccine and so much more, as well as with Roman about, you know, coexisting on a college campus with the vaccine and so much more. It is Saturday afternoon. This is Minority Health Matters. I am Lynn Hayes Freeland, your host. We'll come back with our guest. We have a lot more to talk about. Stick around. You're listening to the voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA Radio. I'm Lynn Hayes Freeland, and this is Minority Health Matters. My guest today, Dr. William Simmons, Aidan Harbin, Roman Ramsey. Dr. Simmons is here on behalf of Gateway Medical Society, and Aidan and Roman are here on behalf of their program, Journey to Medicine, which is designed to fill the medical pipeline where there are apparent gaps in terms of African-American participation. Dr. Simmons, let me come back to you, because as I talk about what Journey to Medicine is all about, earlier we talked about some of the hesitancy, some of the concerns, some of the misinformation. Why is it, for those who don't get why it is important to have more black and brown doctors in the system, in the communities, in our hospitals?
Well, as we have been talking to people in the community about why they're not getting the vaccine, they're not seeing a lot of black and brown doctors and nurses that are in the position of giving the shots. And that's what they have been requesting. So we have Gateway Medical Society, and particularly Dr. Stephen Evans, who is a professor at the University of Pittsburgh and one of the only black surgeons in Western Pennsylvania. He has taken it upon himself to try to get black and brown doctors and nurses to be with UPMC and with Highmark AHN, so that when they put on an event, that there would be black and brown faces in the position of giving the shots, so that that would make some people, a lot of black and brown people, a lot more comfortable to see our doctors and our nurses there also touting the importance of getting that shot.
Roman, you are a senior at Duquesne, so you've been, you've spent a whole year, basically, your whole last year and a little bit of your junior year, I guess, going through this pandemic. How did it change your college experience, or did it?
Oh, it's, Ms. Hayes-Freeland, it completely turned my academic career almost topsy-turvy with just the initial leaving of campus around in March of 2020, when students were asked to leave the university and return back home just for safety precautions, and the university not being able to house as many students as much, and still trying to navigate a regular routine schedule of classes and all these things. It was extremely inconvenient in the changes that were made, but with a lot of just new policies and just management of having students try to get back to being on campus, having some classes be of a hybrid flex of online and in person, the university definitely has taken some precautions to kind of get back to a sort of normal. But it has definitely been a process in getting there, with just the rapid kind of speed of which it was asked to change.
So let me ask you this, because we hear about campuses all over. I mean, I'm not looking specifically at your campus, but we hear about campuses all over our area where there are spikes, there are numbers, administration say shelter in place. And for us who are watching this from the outside, I think a lot of people feel like students didn't take this virus seriously. Not wanting to throw any of your friends under the bus, but what do you feel like on campus or with students? Do you feel like people your age took it seriously?
There are definitely some that took it more serious than others. Some that were just more attuned to the information that was coming out about the virus and about everything that was going as far as symptoms and people getting sick. On a lot of college campuses, sadly, there are students who are just in the interest of doing things that they want, but not necessarily in the interest of protecting others. And that's of course a trend throughout most college campuses. People of any age demographic, especially young people, are always going to do 10 times out of 10 what they choose to do, despite what they are being advised to do or what is best for them. But I would definitely say, with at least what I've seen on my college campus, there are definitely students that are more serious in keeping their family safe, their roommate safe, and just trying to be as precautious with the virus as possible.
Aiden, what about for you? I mean, and the reason why I want to zero in on this with you two in particular is because we have seen a surge in younger cases, you know, from high school to the early 20s. Aiden?
Can you repeat that question?
Sure. What about with people around you, people in your school, your friends? Do you feel like, at least at the beginning, or even as we've progressed through it, do you feel like people took this virus seriously?
I think that they have been taking this seriously. As I mentioned before, they are at least attempting to get out and get the vaccine and stuff. And if they are out with friends, I know they're probably wearing masks and stuff like that, so they're, like, taking all the precautions to make sure they stay safe and keep their family safe and stuff like that.
And Dr. Simmons, do these two and their experiences, do they reflect the norm, or are they the exceptions?
Unfortunately, I think they might be an exception. There are many black and brown people that are very weary of some of the things that the medical establishment has been doing, and especially giving an injection. The fact that this particular vaccine is different from the others in the sense that it is done using the messenger RNA, which technique, and also they're being housed in a pod and being put into that allows it to go through our cells and into attached to our chromosomes. People are saying they're thinking about that, and that has been a major question that I've been having, or people have been having with me, saying, you know, what is that going to do in the long run? What happens with that pod after it's emptied out its contents? And I can't answer those questions. No, I don't know if anybody can. But those are the kinds of things that have been making people a little bit wary and thinking that they're being used as an experimental for this process.
And last question before we have to take a break for the news. I'm also wondering how the pause in the J&J vaccination distribution process affected those who were hesitant anyway.
If I would be able to answer that question,
sure.
The college perspective point of view, a pause on a vaccine coming out and it being because of it causing other defects or issues is going to create a lot of skepticism and a lot of pushback, inevitably, especially coming from just a young person's point of view and with a group that was already in just shooting numbers, one of the like largest pushes in like vaccinations. There are like the least groups in young people getting vaccines and things like that. And just taking in the information and seeing it as not trusting it, especially as, again, coming from a black male's perspective, long history in not trusting medical field for having black people, people of colors, just health in the best light, it definitely raises a lot of questions. And especially for them to come out after that and just slapping on a warning label of it, it, again, raises questions and, of course, causes just pushback, but I feel more information about it should be released with these statements.
And then last question before the break, and real quick, were people, were like college students more inclined to want the J&J because it was a one and done? It just was easier?
There were definitely, yes. Many, okay. many students would just want to take the one-shot vaccine just because it was something they feel like they didn't have to wait for, or just have to feel a second round of symptoms over having two vaccinations. And many of my friends are definitely in the same boat of getting the J&J vaccine and then hearing about the callback. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's pushed some of my other friends on the fence of even wanting to get vaccinated. I myself mm-hmm. chose to be vaccinated because it was in my best interest and in the decision that I felt was best. But with just younger groups, we are a headline generation, as most people sure, like to describe sure. us. We only see mm-hmm. what the first lines of things are. And with so much information pushed out and it only giving you like the spoon for the first spoon or taste of what the information that it actually is holding of why the vaccination was being held for a moment and what were the causings of, I think it was blood
right,
clotting.
Right.
And things of that nature, that information isn't being as far as pushed, or we're not some
not doing those deep dives.
Not looking.
There you go. We got to take a break. Hold that thought. We got to take a break for the news. I like that headline generation. We'll be back with more of Minority Health Matters in just a minute. Welcome back to Minority Health Matters. It is a special event that happens here on KDKA 100.1 FM and the News Radio 1020 AM on the first Saturday of every month. We do this in cooperation with the Gateway Medical Society. Dr. William Simmons, one of their past presidents, is with us today, as well as two members of the Journey to Medicine program, which is a program operated by Gateway Medical Society, designed to help fill the medical pipeline to provide more black and brown doctors throughout the area to address issues within the community. Dr. Simmons, let me come back to you. And we've talked about, you know, getting shots out into the community. We've talked about some of the hesitance that exists. But I am wondering, because when COVID-19 first became a part of our everyday conversation, it almost ripped the Band-Aid off of health issues that had been present in the black community for years. But no one kind of was addressing, other than organizations like Gateway Medical. So now a year later, are we addressing those issues, or have we been so focused on COVID that we haven't really had a chance to deal with those underlying concerns?
Unfortunately for the African-American community, there are very few groups that are actually trying to address those underlying issues. COVID has taken front and center, and rightly so in many respects. But as far as ongoing problems with diabetes, ongoing problems with other hypertension and other health concerns, there are very few people that are actually doing something. There is one group that I am working with presently that is looking to do something this summer, which I'd like to mention is that the Brothers Foundation is going to have a free diabetes and the screening in the North Side and also in the Wilkinsburg area. Dates aren't specific yet, but they want to be able to help people, because diabetes is a number, even though it's not listed as such, it's the number one killer in the black community. The reason I say that is that when people are dying and on their death certificate, they talk about heart disease. It is probably running back to that is a situation that it was caused by their diabetes. Their vascular disease is often caused by their diabetes. Kidney and all of these other things can be associated with the diabetes, meaning diabetes goes under the carpet. They don't actually mention diabetes on a death certificate, but actually
for those people who have diabetes and are dying from all of these other problems, it is truly consequence of the diabetes that has caused the majority of those problems. So yes, those things still have to be looked at and still have to be to help people to be able to know more about their medical condition and how to better their health and their diet so that they can live longer and be more prosperous.
And Aidan, I wanted to ask you earlier, and I forgot that I was going to loop back to you. So we mentioned that you are a rising college freshman. You'll be graduating from high school this year. You're getting your second vaccine tomorrow, I believe you said. Is getting vaccinated a requirement at North Carolina A&T?
It kind of is, I'm pretty sure. For if you're like taking like a lot of, on-campus classes, I'm very sure that they do really want you to have the vaccine and stuff like that. But I don't think it's necessarily like a requirement if you're not taking like on-campus classes or you're like doing it digitally and stuff like that.
Okay, and we talked with Roman, and he kind of talked about how his last year had been turned upside down by COVID. How did it affect you? I mean, do you guys get to have graduation? Are you having a prom? I mean, what's it been like for you guys?
Unfortunately, since we've been online all this time and stuff like that, we've actually, I think, missed our prom and stuff like that. But however, we are, at least for this senior year, we're going back to some type of hybrid form, I think, this Monday. So, yeah.
Do you feel like you lost out in missing those things?
Probably, yeah. That's a big part of the senior experience. Like having that social experience of the prom and stuff like that is a big thing.
And then let me ask this to both of you, and whoever wants to go first certainly can. We hear all the time that academically, for a lot of students, this was a lost year academically. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like you got as much out of this school year as you could have, as you would have? Who wants to go first? We'll go to Roman since Aidan just answered. Roman?
Okay. Well, Aidan, I'm sorry. I'm going to be talking for a second.
In
the words of this year being a lost year, I would definitely say that, 2020 being a lost year, and it definitely feels like that in a lot of ways. It definitely was a very taxing year for some people financially, mentally, in just more ways than we can imagine. But would it be lost? I mean, speaking personally, again, it was a very, very stressful, trialsome year. But there were silver linings or other things that made it better. And I would hope that there were many people that were able to find those same niche things to be able to kind of pick up the year, because it definitely had its times of just feeling completely helpless that it was not going to get any worse. But for sure, I would definitely say that there, along with that gray cloud, were a lot of silver linings that we started to pay attention to. For example, students coming out and saying that learning environments, whether they be online or in person, probably isn't the most ideal, and universities may have listened. That we started actually speaking out about mental health and actually knowing what it means to do self-care and keeping that in the forefront of our mind, because the world around us could change at any moment to make our lives completely crazy. There were definitely good things to come out of that year, but we might lose sight of them with the just mountain of craziness that it came with.
Roman, what about for you?
That was Roman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Aidan, what about for you?
As far as having a lost year and online stuff like that, I know it has been kind of tough going through online years and stuff, because like there's a lot of stuff that you miss, like if you like if you weren't in school and stuff like that. So like say for example, like if you like, so like in science class and stuff like that, you can do like science experiments and stuff like that, and the stuff learned I kind of miss and stuff like that.
Okay. And I'll tell you what, I mean, we talk about things that have happened in the last year, and I can use this show as an example because I keep saying Aiden Roman and getting it all wrong. And, you know, in another world, at another time, we would all be sitting in a studio and I'd be looking in your faces. Instead of trying to keep track in my head whose voice is whose. And those are all things that I think we've all had to adjust to. And one of the other things that's become pretty common is virtual doctor's appointments. And I want to talk to Dr. Simmons about that when we come back, because if technology and internet is a challenge in some black and brown communities, I would think that also includes virtual doctor's appointments. But we'll talk about all that when Minority Health Matters. Stick around. I tell you what, in this day of COVID in 2021, we could probably talk about health issues in general for hours, but we only get an hour to do it on the first Saturday of every month in a show called Minority Health Matters. That's where you just landed in the middle of. And Dr. Simmons, I wanted to follow up on what I teased just before that last break. So many things are happening virtually now. Doctor's appointments, things are moving virtually. And we know, especially when we look at educationally what happened during the pandemic, I wonder if moving towards more virtual doctor's appointments has a different impact in black and brown communities, and then does that in many ways put us further behind the eight ball?
Absolutely. I'd like to talk about actually two different things here. First of all, you were talking about the effect of students. What about first graders going to first grade and going to school for the first time, and you have to do it virtually? That was a nightmare for a lot of families, trying to teach and keep their kids engaged in a Zoom screen instead of being in the classroom. And that happened for the younger kids throughout the area in public schools, trying to the home was not exactly conducive for them to actually learn. And truly, many families have said that they have gotten only a portion of what was given during the course of the year, because it was the parents that was supposed to be teaching the children, and they didn't understand the materials that well themselves. So that was I just wanted to add that to why some loss was occurring. The second thing is that in many black and brown communities, internet access is not always in every home. And because internet access is not in every home, the use of Zoom to contact your doctor and was truly a struggle for many people. Plus, trying to explain your medical problems in a way that would be clear enough so that the doctor would be able to make a diagnosis and transfer medications to you over that media was a nightmare for people, to the point where they just plain wouldn't do it or wouldn't try it. So yes, this was going virtual was dragging a whole lot of people up to this particular level of technology when they were not using it previous to this, and it truly was a struggle, and a lot of people are having trouble with it even today.
So let me switch gears on all of you now, because we've talked about the vaccine, we've talked about vaccine hesitancy, and now we're at this point, and I did have statistics, but I won't go into them, but we're at a point now where we're talking about vaccine passports. The Penguins are talking about having a vaccinated section for people who are vaccinated, and other venues are saying the same thing. Dr. Simmons, I'd like to start with you, and then let's go Dr. Simmons, Aiden Roman. What do you think about a new divide, the vaccinated from the non-vaxxed?
That is going to be an absolute nightmare for a lot of people. Black and brown people have a lot of divides already in their lives. There's a financial divide. There's sometimes an educational divide. And now you're going to have, because of people's hesitancy to take the vaccine, now there's going to be a vaccine divide, whether you can fly on an airplane, whether you can go certain places and or now go to certain, go enjoy a sports event. All of these things here are going to cause so much chaos in the lives of certain people because of that. And so I see this as an overall negative. And so we need to start finding a way to get people more interested in taking that. One of the things that we're doing at Gateway Medical Society is that we are trying to provide Black and brown doctors and nurses to be at these large vaccination centers so that people have a choice and know that if they feel more comfortable having a Black doctor or a Black nurse be the one that prescribes or give them the shot, we want to be there and we want to be available to them, to these vaccination centers, so that that option is going to be there.
And I'm guessing, just along those lines, sometimes seeing a face that looks like yours is part of the welcoming process. So
absolutely.
Hats off to you guys for trying to make that happen. Aiden, I know, I mean, I've spent some time in Greensboro, North Carolina. I know how big North Carolina A&T Aggies, the football games are. What do you think? How do you feel about, you know, vaccinated versus unvaccinated sections in places?
I mean, it's very interesting. I guess, like, I might be repeating what Dr. Simmons said. Hold on.
Did we lose you?
No, sorry. I'm just thinking about it real quick.
Okay. All right. I'll let you think about it. Let's go to Roman. Roman, while Aiden's thinking about it, what are your thoughts?
Again, I'm going to just echo Dr. Simmons with this one. I think that this country's seen a good amount of segregation. Enough is enough with that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that dividing and separating people based on their personal decision of vaccinating or not vaccinating is going to do anything of good use or of a great benefit. If anything, would seem more negative than bring positive. But I mean, that's
do you think it would make some people who are not vaccinated more inclined to be vaccinated if they realize, oh, well, if I had my shot, I could do this. If I had my shot, I could do that.
It could at some push give some people a little bit more of a kind of nudge to wanting to be vaccinated, wanting to get more information. But there are better ways of doing that instead of immediately setting a disconnect and creating a us versus them kind of group setting and environment for people, because that just naturally just creates a dynamic that isn't healthy. By separating people, you are creating some type of gap. And whenever there are any separations in this country, Black people, specifically people of color, are always put on the lower end of the spectrum in the polls of that. So creating more divides on top of divides are only going to divide us greater as a very just individually preferenced group of people. But, I mean, there are other ways. There are definitely other ways.
Okay. Aiden, I'm going to circle back to you. Anything you want to add to that?
I guess, like, I know that, like, creating a divide like that isn't going to be good. I'm probably repeating what everyone's saying, but it does give, like, and I know, like, it might be, like, an incentive and stuff like that to increase more vaccination efforts. But other than that, it would be probably better to, like, understand what the hesitancy is and, like, try to mitigate it, whether it be adding more Black doctors in or simply, like, giving more information about the vaccine, stuff like that.
Okay, and that's a good segue to you, Dr. Simmons. As we're just about out of time in this conversation, what are the final thoughts? I mean, where do you think the emphasis needs to be? Education, educating people about the vaccine, getting celebrities out there in front of it? Where do you think our focus needs to be?
Well, our focus, well, the thing that we're actually trying to do is to get more Black and brown doctors and nurses in those facilities to actually give the shots, and that in itself will show an acceptance, and then give somebody a chance to talk with a Black or brown doctor about their opinions, and showing that we are indeed in support of everyone getting this vaccine. We're in support of people getting it so that that this can decrease the risk associated. We have to remember, this is a pandemic. It is the results of what COVID-19 has done is horrible for the last year to Black and brown people. We truly need, and we have a way of trying to protect ourselves for now. It's not going away. There could be episodes where you're going to see increased infection and death associated with COVID-19 in the future. We truly need to get the vaccine to try to mitigate and to minimize this long-term effect.
And then last question, I want to stay with you, Dr. Simmons, because we're at a point now where it appears, at least in this area, there's more vaccine than there are arms for it to go into. That's a big difference from where we were a month ago, even 2 months ago, for sure. Is it important that we keep a lot of these clinics open because there will be fence sitters who just on a whim may decide, you know what, I was going to wait, but today's the day?
We absolutely need to keep the way that this was rolled out in this area, the medical people were the ones that were getting the shots initially, and then there were age restrictions, and then there were medical need and so forth. They're just getting to a point where anyone could come and get the shots, and this is why we should keep these open. And even if you look at at the most recent ones, take for instance Pittsburgh Mills, a very, very successful mm-hmm. vaccination center. They did 7,000 people. About 300 or 400 of them were African Americans. Out of that 7,000, in Philadelphia, the NAACP did about 2,500, most of which were white. NAACP had another one in Penn Hills. Most of which
I don't want to cut you short. I don't want to cut you short, but I just realized we're out of time. We're going to have to continue this next month on Minority Health Matters. Gentlemen, thank you all for joining us. I'll just be quick and get out. Have a great week. This has been Minority Health Matters.